I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are coming very, very close to the end of the year. So you see how time flies. Now we are coming to the end of November, and soon Christmas will be here, end of the year will be here, and then we'll be starting a new year. My dear friends, we all need to ask ourselves this very vital question: what have we been doing for the Lord? I've been reminding you with this question over and over again. I hope you don't tire you're not tired with my reminder. But I want to remind you so that all of us will remember to glorify the Lord in the way we live, in the way we witness for Him, in the way we serve Him. Now let us pray that in the new year we will all be better witnesses for the Lord. Now this morning the subject is be lazy and become poor. Be lazy and become poor. And I speak from Proverbs 24 verses 30 to 34, the passage which was read by Deacon Benson earlier on. Now Solomon, King Solomon, was reputed to be perhaps the wisest man that ever lived, apart from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One day, he went by the field of this man who was void of understanding. In other words, he was one who was not wise at all. And what did King Solomon see? He saw a field that was completely covered with thorns and with weeds. And of course, there were no fruits. Yes. And even if there were, they would have been stolen by people, or they would have been eaten by wild animals, because the field was not protected at all. The wall the wall of the field was broken down. And when Solomon saw this field that was in that dilapidated condition, it was an object lesson to him. And so he said, yet a little while, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. I read from Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34. All right, if you look at these two verses, verses 33 and 34. Now let me paraphrase these two verses. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come on you like a man that travels. What it means here is like a bandit, like a bandit, like a robber, and scarcity like an armed man. Now that's what happened to people who are lazy. And friends, we must learn spiritual lessons from this teaching. A little laziness here, little laziness there may seem to be of little consequence. But not so, observed King Solomon. What's the result of this little laziness here, little laziness there? The result is poverty and scarcity, which like robbers and bandits will rob you of your wealth. Now economically this is true. You can come up with 1,001 economic theories as to why a country is poor, but you cannot escape this truth. Slothfulness is one of the causes of poverty. In other words, laziness is one of the causes of poverty. Now, I don't want to target any particular race this morning, but you just have to look at the work ethics of the average worker in any racial community, and you see a strong correlation between the work ethics of the average worker and the wealth of that community. The better the work ethics, in other words, the more hardworking the people are, the better the work ethics are, the greater the wealth of that community. But the poorer the work ethics of that community, the greater the poverty of that community. Now, some racial communities just do not like to work. They are very, very laid back. They just do not like to work. Some time ago, I met two young men who were Christian workers. They work among this community of this certain racial community. And they told me that this community actually was pretty laid back. And they said that some of these members of this community might sometimes want to become farmers. And they might say, all right, you give us some cows to rear. And you could give them 10 cows. At the beginning of the year, you give them 10 cows. And hopefully you say that over the next few years, these 10 cows will multiply and become a big herd. But you know what they say? These two Christian workers said, you can give them 10 cows. And don't be surprised by the end of the year, you have only one cow left. Yes, you eat up the cows. They don't want to work. Now, today, people in many advanced countries like this idea. They say, get more, work less. Get more, work less. And you know what they call it? They call it a progress towards a better life. Now, is it really progress towards a better life? Get more, work less. I think it is not progress towards a better life, but I think it is slothfulness, slothfulness. And countries that believe in getting more by working less are finding out that they are in great trouble. You know why? Because they realize that they can't compete with countries that are very industrious. You simply can't violate this truth. Laziness results in poverty. Now let's learn spiritual lessons this morning. While Solomon's lesson has economic truth, let us go beyond the material. Let us go beyond the temporal and let us learn spiritual lessons this morning. Slothfulness in material matters will result in material poverty. So, spiritual slothfulness will result in spiritual poverty. Now, let's ask, what causes spiritual slothfulness? Why are people spiritually lazy? Spiritual slothfulness. What causes spiritual slothfulness? What causes us to prefer comfort and ease and to give excuses upon excuses as to why we should not be inconvenienced in our service for the Lord? Now, basically, it is sin. It is sin that causes us to prefer comfort, ease, and to give excuses upon excuses as to why we should not be doing this, as to why we should not be doing that. Now, it is the sin of the lack of love. It is sin. And it is the sin of the lack of love. A lack of love for him causes spiritual slothfulness. Now, love is a great motivating force that causes people to do things that are extraordinary, things that are not normal. What won't a man do for a woman whom he loves? What won't he do for her? And what won't loving parents do for their children whom they love very, very much? Yes, love causes people to work very hard. It causes people to work sacrificially. It causes people to overcome all difficulties and all obstacles. Yes, that's what love does for people. And if we know what kind of hardship some parents would go through to give their children a better life, not necessarily a better material life, but a life that is rounded, a life that is balanced, a life that is meaningful. Parents like to give children this kind of a life. And so what do? In their own country, they can't do it. Then so they say, let's emigrate. And so they emigrate. They had a very comfortable life in their former country. And materially, they were well off. They could afford many things. They could afford to have a servant or servants in their home. But then they choose to emigrate for the sake of their children. And where would they emigrate to? Some would come to Australia. Yes. And as it were, when they come to the new country, they have to reinvent their lives. Reinvent their lives. They have to get into businesses that they are strangers to. They had no idea about this kind of business that they get into. But they have no choice, and they are prepared to do so. They work very, very hard just to earn that permanent residency status. Now, why do they work so hard, you ask? Why? They work so very hard because of love. They love their children. That's why they do that. Love causes them to work very, very hard and very sacrificially. Now, God has commanded us to love Him, to love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. In other words, we are to love God with our entire being. Now, if we don't love Him with all our heart, It means we don't love him with all our will, if we don't love him with all our soul, if we don't love him with all our mind, if we don't love him with all our strength, my dear friends, we are really guilty of being slothful, guilty of the slothfulness of the will. The heart is the will. We are being guilty of the slothfulness of the will, being guilty of the slothfulness of the soul and of the mind and of the body. Now this morning, I'd like us to consider just one aspect of slothfulness, and that is the slothfulness of the soul, the laziness of the soul. We are to love the Lord with all our soul. Now whether a soul is slothful or not is shown by the activities of the soul. Now the soul of course has got many activities, but I'd like us to consider three activities of the soul this morning. Number one, praying. Number two, hearing God's word. And number three, doing God's word. Then finally, I'll talk about the consequence of the slothfulness of the soul. So first, I talk about the slothfulness of the soul. Then I talk about the consequence of the slothfulness of the soul. Now first, let's consider the slothfulness of the soul in praying. Praying is one of the activities of the soul. Let's first consider the slothfulness of the soul in praying. If we don't love him, we will be very slothful in prayer. You see, if we love him, we'll be very, very diligent in prayer. You know why? Because prayer is simply talking to God. Now, can you stop talking to someone whom you love very, very dearly? I say you can't. If you love that person very, very dearly, you will want to talk to that person. You have this burning desire to talk to that person, especially when you are at the stage of courting, in the stage of courting. Now, if you are on the phone, I tell you this, yes, time and money would be of no consequence. True or false? Of course it's true, yes, yes. Now, you won't be lazy talking to your beloved, and that's absolutely true. And you become very, very creative in conversation making, and that's true, yes. And likewise, my dear friends, if we love God, if we love the Lord, we will want to talk to him. If you love your beloved, you want to talk to him. You love God, you will want to talk to him. You will want to pray to him. We will not be slothful in prayer. Instead, we'll be unceasing in our prayers. Now, Bible heroes are lovers of God. You look at them, many of them. Bible heroes are lovers of God. And many of them have one thing in common, and that is they spend much time in prayer. They love God, and so they prayed. Now, Moses was in the presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai when he went up Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments. How long did he spend with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord? 40 days and 40 nights. Yes. And then there in the presence of the Lord, he talked to the Lord as a friend to a friend. So consumed was he in his fellowship with the one true living God that God's holiness overflowed to him. To the extent that Moses' face shone with what? Of course, shone with holiness. There was absolutely no slothfulness in Moses' prayer unto the Lord. Then we have the famous account of Jacob wrestling with God, praying unto God from night till the break of dawn. Yes, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And God finally blessed him with this very, very vitally, vitally important blessing. The same blessing that he blessed his grandfather with and his father with. Yes, his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. It was the same blessing. And what was that blessing? That blessing was this: in Abraham shall all the families of the earth be blessed, and in Jacob shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because through the descendants of, through the line of Jacob came the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then in the New Testament, we have another lover of God, the Apostle Paul. Here was one who exhorted others to pray without ceasing. And he said, this is the will of God concerning you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will that we continue to pray, and we pray unceasingly. And Paul set the example. This lover of God set the example. He prayed unceasingly. He prayed night and day for the churches that he ministered to. Now, so we could imagine Paul praying while he was walking, traveling, going on his missionary journey. We could imagine him praying when he was on board the ship. And we could imagine him praying when he was sitting down or when he was working, when he was doing tent making. We could imagine him praying when he was lying down. We could imagine him praying when he was up and about. And we could imagine him praying when he stood to be tried by the authority in those days for witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We could imagine him praying. And we know that even after he was severely beaten, when he was in the city of Philippi, when he was persecuted, beaten, and thrown into prison, what did he do? It was very, very painful, that kind of beating that he received. He did not moan. He did not groan. Instead, he prayed. And he sang praises unto the one true living God along with his missionary partner by the name of Silas. And God answered his prayer. God that evening or that night sent, it was midnight, yes. God sent an earthquake that caused the prison doors to fling open. And then the jailer wanted to commit suicide because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul stopped him. And then he asked that very, very famous question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the Lord that evening very, very graciously saved this man, this Philippi jailer, because of the wonderful testimony of the Apostle Paul. Yes, he prayed. Yes, he prayed. He didn't moan. He didn't groan because he loved the Lord. So nothing and nothing could stop this servant of the Lord, Paul, from praying. For he was very, very much in love with this master of his, this savior of his, the lover of his soul. The Lord was his first love. So in love was he with this Lord of his that it was impossible for him to ever stop praying. Impossible for him to be slothful in praying. No, Paul was never slothful in prayer. Now, the Lord himself has set us the supreme example. The Word of God records for us he's engaging in prayer throughout the night. Daily, our Lord would toil. He would preach. He would heal. And he would raise people to life who were dead in darkness and sin. But he, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, busy as he was, never allowed his busyness to take him away from his prayer. He must talk to his heavenly Father, whom he loves with a perfect love. Now some say it is busyness that causes people to be slothful in prayer. True or false? It depends, my dear friends. If you are a lover of God, my dear friends, like the saints who love the Lord, the more busy you are, the more you will pray unto the Lord. Because you love the Lord and you want help from the Lord. The Lord whom you love, you will pray to him. The more busy you are, the more you will pray. One day, this great reformer, Martin Luther, was inundated with work. And what would you do, my dear friends, if you are inundated with work? I dare say that for most of us, this is what we will say, I'm so very, very busy now. I'll finish my work first, then I'll pray. Isn't it very true? I think that's what we'll do. We say we'll finish our work first, then we'll pray. And my dear friends, but that's foolishness, because we are actually putting the cart before the horse. Now, but what did Luther do? He did the right thing. He put the horse before the cart. Yes, and what did he say? He said, I'm very, very busy now. So busy, so inundated with work that I must spend the next 3 hours praying. And that's what he did. Spend the next 3 hours praying before he continued with the work that was inundating him. Now, so the more busy he was, the more he would pray. Now, I remember this friend of mine who years ago was sitting for his final exams, his university exams. He was a medical student. He was sitting for his final year exams. He studied very, very hard. Then he told me this. He said, I studied until I couldn't study, to the extent that I spent more time praying than studying. So in the end, he spent more time praying than studying. And the Lord was very pleased with what he did, and the Lord granted him success in his studies. Yes, this friend of mine, of course, loved the Lord. Yes, the more busy he was, the more he would pray. So it is not true that busyness causes us to be slothful in prayer. It is our lack of love for the Lord that causes us to be slothful in prayer. Now, how much time do we spend praying? Now, I'm not saying that if we spend more time praying, our prayer will become more effectual. Our prayer will become more effective. But the truth is, if we spend too little time praying, we are just being slothful in prayer. We don't pray enough. We don't love Him enough. Remember what Jacob did? He wrestled with the Lord from night till the break of dawn. Remember what Moses did? He spent 40 days and 40 nights up on Mount Sinai with the Lord. And that was not the only time that he spent in prayer 40 days and 40 nights communing with God. That was not the only time. If you look into the Word of God, perhaps there were some two or three other times that he did that, that he spent something like 40 days, 40 nights in the presence of the Lord. Then think of the Apostle Paul. He prayed without ceasing. So how long do we engage ourselves in prayer every day? How long? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? Half an hour? 1 hour? Now can we say that we are not slothful in prayer, my dear friends? How can you say that you are not slothful in prayer when you spend only 10 minutes in prayer every day? How can you say that? But spending much time in prayer might still not be enough. We could still be slothful in prayer. Now we must add to time praying zeal and fervency. And now such prayers are melting prayers. They come from hearts that are broken and contrite. You remember what King David said? He said, "A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise." Yes, such prayers the Lord is delighted to incline his ears to. Now the incense placed on the altar in the temple of Jerusalem was representative of the prayers of God's people. The incense placed on the altar was representative of the prayers of God's people. Then fire had to be put to this incense. And when fire was put to this incense, of course the incense would burn, and then the aroma of the incense would be released. And as it were, those prayers would then be ascending to God as a sweet savor, as a sweet perfume, if you like. Yes. Now, likewise, my dear friends, our prayers must be filled with zeal and fervor, like the burning of the incense. It is when our prayer is filled with zeal and filled with fervor that it ascends to God as a sweet savor, as a sweet perfume. When we pray in that manner, God is very, very pleased with that prayer because it smells like perfume to Him. It is a sweet savor to Him. Now, there is no slothfulness for prayers. Now, look at the kind of prayers Moses prayed when he was up on Mount Sinai, when the children of Israel rebelled against the one true living God and raised up the golden calf to worship. Moses was away up in the Mount Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights. And the children of Israel then committed idolatry because they wanted to have their sexual orgies. Now God's anger was aroused against the children of Israel. He wanted to wipe out the children of Israel. But what did Moses do? Moses interceded. He prayed for the children of Israel. Now was his prayer lazy and casual? No, my dear friends, his prayer was filled with zeal and filled with fervor. This was how he prayed. Now, let me read you his prayer. Yes, such prayers, my dear friends, if they are lazy and casual, they are not going to achieve anything at all. But you listen to Moses' prayer, recorded for us in Exodus 32, verses 11 to 14. I read for you these verses, Exodus 32, 11 to 14. I read for you. And Moses besought the Lord his God. In other words, he beseeched the Lord. He entreated the Lord. He pleaded with the Lord and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from thy fierce wrath, O Lord, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Moses was reminding God, God, I know that you are a faithful God. You were faithful to Abraham, faithful to Isaac, faithful to Jacob. I know now you are very, very faithful. You will keep your promise. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And what was the result? Moses prayed in that manner with zeal and with fervor. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Yes, Moses' prayer was filled with zeal and fervor, and God answered him, and he spared the children of Israel. A slothful soul, being slothful in prayer, achieves nothing for the Lord. Look at Jacob again, Moses and Paul. They all achieved much for the Lord. Why? Because their souls were spiritually active, engaged in prayer. Not slothful, but spiritually actively engaged in prayer. Now the soul is slothful, if it is slothful in hearing God's word. Yes, it is slothful if it is slothful in praying. Now it is slothful if it is slothful in hearing God's word. Now, if you love a person, you will be all ears to that person. Now, her voice will be music to your ears, even if what she says is just sweet nothing. Even if she says it's something that is nonsensical. Isn't it true? No, my dear friends, you will not be slothful to hear what your beloved has to say, even if it is something nonsensical, even if it is something that is sweet nothing. If we love the Lord, we will love to hear his voice. We will delight to read his word. We will delight to do our quiet time. We will delight to hear him speak to us. We will delight to hear his word preached to us. Like the psalmist, we will say, O Lord, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I love your word, Lord. I love to hear you speak to me. I wonder how delighted we are to hear God's word preach to us. As I speak to you now, right now, I wonder where your mind is, my dear friends. Is your mind here? As I speak to you, are you asking yourself these questions? Yes. What is the Lord saying to me? Yes. This preacher read from God's word. He preaches from God's word. What is the Lord saying to me? And then you recognize this truth. God's word is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, you recognize this. And then you ask yourself this question, how can I benefit from this message? My dear friends, are you listening to God's word in that manner? Now, if we love him, truly love him, we will love his word preached to us. We will love to hear his word read to us. We will love to hear his word spoken to us. Yes, because we love him, we love to hear his word. Now, slothfulness of the soul in listening is very, very much related to pride. Pride makes a person a poor listener. It is true. Proverbs 26, verse 16 says, the sluggard, it means a lazy person, is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. In other words, a person who is very lazy is very proud of himself. In his own eyes, he thinks that he's wiser, smarter than seven wise men who are able to answer people very discreetly. Yes, he thinks he's wiser than these people. And so he uses his own reasoning all the time. He will not hear God's word. He will not hear God's counsel. He will not hear God's instruction. But the soul that loves the Lord will not be proud before the Lord. The soul that loves the Lord will humble himself before the Lord. And then with humility, he will listen to God's word. And this is what he will say. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard. That's what he's going to say. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard. If he truly loves the Lord, his soul will not be slothful in hearing. Now let us look at the slothfulness of the soul in regards to doing. So we talk about the slothfulness of the soul in praying, the slothfulness of the soul in hearing. Let's talk about the slothfulness of the soul in regards to doing. Now the soul that is slothful in hearing will also be slothful in doing. If we are lazy to hear God's word, we are not going to have faith. You know why? It's very simple. The word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we don't hear God's word, we won't have faith. So we must listen to God's word, we must hear God's word. Yes, if we want to have faith. Now, if we have no faith, we will not do anything for the Lord. For even before we get started, you know what we reason with ourselves? Even before we get started, we're going to say this, I think I'm going to fail. Even before I get started. That is because we do not have faith. So, you know what the slothful man will say? The slothful man will say, as in Proverbs 22, verse 13, there is a lion outside. There's a lion without or a lion outside. I will be slain in the streets. No, we won't try anything because we imagine there is a lion out there and we are going to be slain. And even if there are no lions, we'll see lions. My dear friends, if we have no faith. My American boss years ago used to say this to us when we were too chicken to attempt anything great for the company. He would say this to us, you guys are seeing ghosts, you're seeing ghosts. My dear friends, that's what happens to us if we have no faith. We see lions when there are no lions. Friends, we must be swift to hear his word. Only then will we have faith. Yes, and it is only then that we will be enterprising for the Lord. We hear his word, we have faith, then we'll be enterprising for the Lord. We're there to expect great things from the Lord, and then we'll dare to attempt great things for the Lord. And not only that, we will continue to do things for him. We won't stop doing things for him, we'll continue to do things for him. We'll be faithful to him. Whether we are going to rough days, bad days, good days, whatever day, friends, we will continue to be faithful to him. We will not imagine that there is a lion out there. And even if there's a lion out there, and indeed there could be a lion out there, because Satan as the roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We will still not be afraid. Even if there's a lion out there, we will still not be afraid, because we know that this lion is a defeated foe, defeated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he died for us on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his precious blood for us. Yes, if we are not slothful in hearing his word, then we'll have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. And then if we have faith, then we will continue to do what he wants us to do. We will continue to be faithful to him. Now the soul hearing his word and obeying his word will not be slothful in his business. We will be instant in season, then we will be instant out of season. Preaching, testifying for the Lord. And we will be very, very opportunistic in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are faithless because we are slothful in hearing God's word, my dear friends, we'll never be opportunistic for him. If we hear his word, we'll be very opportunistic. Now, we'll not be opportunistic for the Lord if we do not hear his word, because we'll be too scared to open our mouths. We are too terrified by the lion out in the street. We are too scared to be laughed at, too scared to be mocked, too scared to be persecuted. And so what we tell ourselves? You know what we tell ourselves? We tell ourselves this, I don't have to open my mouth. It's all right, because it is the life that counts. It's the way I live that counts. Isn't it very true? But actually that is cowardice, because we then open our mouth. Yes, and slothfulness and cowardice actually go hand in hand. If we are slothful, we will not hear God's word. Yes, and if we do not hear God's word, slothful in hearing God's word, then we have no faith. And if we have no faith, then we won't do anything for him. Then we will not want to witness for him. We are too cowardly to do anything for him. By being cowardly and slothful, our witness actually has been destroyed by Satan, that roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, what are the consequences of the slothfulness of the soul? What are the consequences? Solomon says in verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Verse 31, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. Nettles are plants with very stinging hairs. I'm sure we have come across such plants. Nettles, plants with stinging hairs. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Every action has its reaction, says the simple law of physics. The slothfulness of a farmer will result in his field being overgrown with weeds and with nettles. It will result in fruitfulness. Wild animals will come and eat up the fruits. Thieves will come to steal the fruits, even if there are some fruits left on the trees. Now, why? Because the walls have not been attended to. The walls have become dilapidated. And so the whole orchard is not protected at all. Friends, if our soul is slothful in prayer, slothful in hearing God's word, slothful in doing God's word, we will bear no fruits for him. God's things must be done God's way. If we want to bear fruit for him, we must pray. We must hear his word, and we must do his word. There simply is no other way. Yes, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We will be barren of this fruit, my dear friends, if we are slothful. Instead, what do we have? We might have thorns and nettles in our field. Our life will not bear a good testimony for the Lord. What will it be characterized by? It will be characterized by sin, and it will be characterized by worldliness. Remember, one day all of us shall have to give an account of what we did for him. Now, if we are slothful, what can we say before the Lord when we stand before him? Nothing to show, no fruits to produce. Our fields have been covered with nettles and with thorns. And how quickly thorns and nettles grow. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little of the folding of the hands to sleep. That is all that is needed. Here in Australia, we see how fast the grass and the weeds in our gardens grow in summer. You just have to neglect your yard for just a short while. And in next to no time, your yard is going to be overgrown with weeds and overgrown with very long grass. And that is how fast we backslide. A little neglect in praying. A little neglect in reading his word, a little neglect in hearing his word, a little neglect in doing his word. And the next thing that happens to us is we backslide. And we might not be aware that we have backslidden. Yes, only other people will be able to see our backslidden condition. We might not be aware of our backslidden condition. The farmer whose field was overgrown with nettles and with thorns might have grown so used to the dilapidated condition of his orchard that he thinks there was nothing wrong with his orchard because he had grown used to that condition. It took a third party in the person of King Solomon to see how dilapidated his field was. Likewise, my dear friends, we could have backslidden so badly that we are so used to the condition that we do not realize that we have backslidden. But a third party will be able to see it. Friends, let us see the danger of a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. If we are careless, my dear friends, we will become poor spiritually. We will be overcome by spiritual scarcity, and we will be overcome by spiritual poverty. Our lack of love for the Lord causes slothfulness of the soul. And how do we show this lack of love for the Lord? We show our lack of love by not being diligent in prayer, by not being diligent in hearing his word, by not being diligent in doing his word. And if we do not hear his word, we will not have faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we do not have faith, my dear friends, we will not attempt to do any work for him. We will not do any work for him. We will not try anything for him. If we have no faith, we will not do anything for him, will not expect great things from him, will not attempt great things for him. We'll be so chicken-hearted that we'll say, there's a lion out there, because we do not have faith. Now, the result of spiritual slothfulness is spiritual poverty. And we show slothfulness. How? How do we show slothfulness? By a little sleep, by a little slumber, by a little folding of the hands to sleep. Slowly but surely, we become spiritually poor. Let us wake up, friends. Let us ask the Lord to cleanse us of all slothfulness. Let us be restored to our first love, even the Lord. And if we love Him, if we love Him, we will surely not be slothful. We will be very, very motivated to do things for Him. We will be very, very motivated to pray. We will be very, very motivated to hear His word. We will be very, very motivated to do His word. Then, if we are, we love Him, if we are not slothful, of course, we will be spiritually rich. And we will be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, even love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then, friends, if we are very, very fruitful for the Lord, it will be very, very natural that we will have a very meaningful and purposeful life. My dear friends, do you not want this kind of life? If we want to have this kind of life, then let us not be slothful. Let us love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we love Him that way, my dear friends, we will not be slothful. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this instruction that is very wise, that comes out of Your Word of Life. And this morning we pray that You will cause Your people here to love You, even with all our heart, our soul, mind, and strength. Because, Lord, we know that if we love You, we will not be slothful. Help us, O Lord God, that we may not be guilty of a little sleep, guilty of having a little slumber, guilty of a little folding of the hands to sleep. But, Lord, we pray that we may always be loving You, so that, Lord, we will be ready always to serve You and to do all the things that You want us to do. Help us that we may not be lazy in prayer, not lazy in hearing Your word, and not lazy in doing Your word. Lord, do bless this congregation. Draw all the members closer unto Yourself. And for those who do not quite understand the message this morning because they are still outside Your kingdom, we pray that You speak to them and cause them to understand that there are great spiritual benefits by coming to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.